Hello, my name is Kelly McKee. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control, anger, and pride. I hope that you hear this not as a story about me, but about God's grace given to those that admit they have failed on their own and are in need of a Savior. In third grade at camp, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, understanding that Him dying on the cross as a perfect man was payment for my sin. My spiritual high always ended soon after camp as the world's views and reality started to set back in. I grew up going to church here and there, where all I seemed to notice was the set of standards that I could not live up to, and over time didn't see the point in trying. I felt the need to hide my flaws and keep secrets because it appeared everyone was judging me. By eighth grade, I decided it wasn't worth going to church anymore. I believed in God, I prayed to God, heard the Bible stories, but was never taught how to handle all the information, and definitely did not want my sins exposed. I was choosing to live in darkness because I didn't understand what it meant to live in the light. My parents had high standards, and I excelled in sports and school in order to gain their approval. I grew up being as good or better at things than the average person, including the guys. I had the best comebacks, I was the fastest runner, I was always first string in sports, and I could outshoot grown men. I could manipulate my way through conflict and would have made an excellent lawyer. I either was or thought I was better than everyone else at everything. Here begins the root of my pride. I was on an achievement high until my sophomore year in high school when we moved from Plano to Kerrville. I'm the oldest of three girls, and family life got rough as we got older. The more things got out of control, the more I held on to everything that I could control. My response was to be cautious of what I did and said around my family because they were always so unpredictable. I learned to be really perceptive of my parents to the extent of being able to influence their moods. This started my codependent way of interacting with people, as I tried to control others based on the perception I observed in order to prevent having to deal with the consequences of upsetting them. I just wanted to get away. On my 16th birthday, I was introduced to drinking for the first time. Not knowing how alcohol worked, I mixed everything from shots to beer and wine coolers. I remember the room beginning to spin, and then the next thing I knew, it was morning. I didn't know for sure until my senior year when someone confessed, but I had been taken advantage of. This was my first semester as the new girl in Kerrville, and my reputation was set. Angry and confused, I begged God to take my life so I could be in heaven with Him, because I didn't trust that He would make things better for me on earth. I continued to fall deeper into depression and built a fortress around my heart. As an escape, I partied a lot with friends where promiscuity, drinking, and experimenting with smoking weed became routine so that I would be numb to the pain in my home. Being under the influence kept my emotions from getting the best of me as I witnessed our family being torn apart. It was the only way I knew how to escape all the sadness and emotional abuse going on at home. When I left for college, I finally felt free from my family and was relieved to escape the turmoil at home. I soon fell into the trap of people-pleasing and continued to party in order to fit in, which seemed to bring lots of friends. My friends were fun to be around and encouraged me to continue in those ways. I had drifted far from God, only praying to Him for a quick fix in times of need or when I was angry with Him for letting these things happen to my family and me. I expected Him to just take care of things when I prayed about them and then would immediately switch back to doing exactly what I wanted to do and handled my problems and pain with partying, drinking, and smoking. I did this without feeling guilty because I figured all my sins were paid for and my slate was wiped clean because of Jesus dying for my sin. Therefore, everything was okay and forgiven. So why did it matter what I did? I expected God to help me every time I asked while I continued to live for myself and the pleasures that my flesh desired. In my heart, I knew what was right and wrong and agreed that the Bible was the basis for how I was supposed to live. I knew the stories and heard about the many great things in the Bible, but never had true understanding of the things I had read. I didn't want to change because I wouldn't have any fun if I quit doing all the things that I was doing. All of my friends were making the same choices and nothing bad ever happened to them. I soon began to realize the self-destructing pattern I had created for myself, and that all my problems were still very alive in the morning, that it seemed dead in the moments I escaped from reality. I was still lonely and depressed and was now swimming in my problems that I've been trying to escape from in all the ways the world led me to believe would help. And even though I was away from my family, in this great era of technology, I couldn't escape the pain I felt every time my mom or sister called me crying, telling me of more tragic events that were occurring at home. I tried turning to friends for advice and help, only to be disappointed by the responses I received. Their solution was to go out and drink and forget about the bad things, and everything would be okay. but I'd already been living that way for years and now knew from experience that it was never fixing my problems because they were all still very real. The idea of all the friends I had began to melt away, and I was left alone and hurt with nowhere to turn and no one to run to. I continued to angrily pray to God, asking him for answers I never truly tried to seek. I decided to abandon my so-called friends and isolated myself from everyone and everything. I figured God was punishing me for all the bad decisions and that maybe if I were alone, I wouldn't have the chance to do anything bad or displeasing to him. So I did nothing at all in fear of his punishment. The loneliness was unbearable and all my problems still existed. I'd become bitter and negative towards everything with no hope for the future. I continuously prayed to God to take my life because I felt no desire to live. My mom urged me to go to church at Watermark with her, so I did. Everything preached sounded good, but I didn't believe that hearing all the same things I'd heard before were really going to help me now. I believed everything that was written in the Bible to be true, even though I had never really read the whole thing. I figured that I was already going to heaven because of my understanding of Jesus and the cross, but why in the world would I change everything for him? Was believing not enough? How was God going to take away my pain that I felt he was putting me through? I knew there was a reason for my existence, but I felt I couldn't take it anymore. I was ready to be in peace and in heaven with him, not on earth where I couldn't escape all the pain. My aunt told me about regeneration and came with me for the first time, and I hated it. I thought it was crazy to sit around in a circle and listen to people talk about their problems when I had enough problems of my own, so I didn't go back. I began to get terrible stomach pains that would come and go. Again, I figured it was God punishing me for wishing to die and that my stress was so out of control that I was creating or imagining these terrible pains. I finally decided that enough was enough and sitting around waiting for God to give me answers wasn't working out. It was time to search for answers myself. I went to the bookstore and bought a devotional book based on Bible teachings. I was ready to find some real answers. I began reading, hoping that God would speak to me through it and tell me what to do. I tried to make it part of my daily routine, and the more I read, the more eager I was to open up my Bible to read further about the things he talked about in the daily devotional. Unfortunately, my problems still existed, and I continue to struggle with, why do I have to live this pointless life on earth instead of going straight to heaven? My stomach pains gradually got worse and so unbearable that I had to be admitted to the hospital. While I was in the hospital, I had a lot of time to think and had read deep enough into my devotional book to know where my faith and understanding of God now laid. Months went by, and I lost my job due to the economy and business being slow. I trusted that God would take care of me, but was still living my life of isolation. I was now selling and smoking weed daily in order to numb my pain and pay my bills. One night, while at my friend's apartment, smoking like every other night, I had this overwhelming sensation that I needed to stop, almost as though a voice were speaking to me, telling me to stop. I'd always talked about quitting, but never in a serious manner. I didn't see it as an addiction. I just never saw the need to stop doing something that helped time go by and suppress my emotions all at once. I immediately told my friends goodbye and walked home. I gathered all of my smoking paraphernalia that I had, and I didn't know what I was doing or why, but I felt God leading me. I started taking each object, questioning myself each time, maybe I should just keep this one, and then while crying, dropped them all into the trash can. I knew I couldn't stop there, so I tied the bag shut and walked out to the dumpster where I tossed the bag. When it hit the bottom, I heard everything shatter, and at that moment, I felt something escape me. This heavy burden and guilt I've been trying to hold on to for so long immediately left me. The very next day, I was called in for a job interview after months of searching for one. That was the moment I finally realized that it's not that God isn't talking to me, it's that I wasn't listening. I decided to give recovery a second chance and discovered that God really and truly has my best interests in mind. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I learned that in every situation, I have a choice to make, and I can either continue to fight God for control of my life or acknowledge that the whole time my life was completely out of control apart from him. The most difficult thing in the beginning of my relationship with God was realizing that I had learned to recognize evil in everything. And what is most frustrating to this day is recognizing it in myself. But we are all a work in progress, and I say that's a good thing. Philippians 1:6. I'm sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. In the beginning of my walk with God, I was the seed that fell in the shallow soil. I sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but wilted under the hot sun because I didn't have deep roots. After I placed my life in God's hands, realizing my depravity and need for him wasn't the hard part, it was knowing how to live for him. I wanted to follow after God and thought that I was, but without counsel from others, truly didn't know how. I heard it said to do what you know, and that's what I did. God gave me the desire to read my Bible daily, change the people I hung out with and the places that I went, and even the things I used to desire, such as drinking and smoking, were no more. Scripture definitely impacted my life and grew my love for the Lord. For a few years, I went from community group to community group, passionate about the Lord and what he had done in my life. I was looking for people with the same passion, but unfortunately didn't have the patience to wait for God to use the people he had placed in my life. I needed strong believers in my life to help my roots grow. I was easily frustrated by people's apathy in their faith, and in my own pride, eventually decided I was better off going at it alone. I didn't know at the time that some accountability and community would have been better than no accountability and community. I didn't really give community a full chance, and this is when I met my husband. Before I met Colton, I would tell anyone and everyone to wait for Mr. Perfect. But after a few years of meeting guys through church, Colton was a breath of fresh air. He was a leader, he was driven, he was masculine and confident. I was upfront with Colton about my relationship with Christ on the first date. I shared my boundaries and expectations and told him that I date for marriage, not for companionship, as to give him a chance to run. At first, Colton led me to believe that he was a Christian. And through several different encounters, I was able to discern that he was not. I kept remembering where I used to be and began to share truth with him. I could see it influencing him, so that kept me justifying my relationship with him. Our relationship was very hard and very hurtful. The emotional and verbal abuse left me in tears most days, and his battle with porn made me feel like I wasn't enough for him. I still loved the Lord, but my quiet times went from daily to non-existent. I was completely consumed by my desire to make the relationship with Colton work and had no believers around me to point me back to truth. Eventually, Colton did accept Christ and we got engaged, but we chose against counsel to move in together for 5 months before we got married. And even though we remained pure, we lost an opportunity to be holy and set apart from the ways of the world. Soon after we married, we got into a foundation group, which is community group for newly marrieds, and the Lord did some work on us for sure. God used them to teach me patience and humility. He grew my love for those that were once like me, not knowing how to live out what the Bible calls us to. We can be so blind to our own sin, no matter how badly we want to follow after Christ. Community is vital for a believer to learn how to grow in our faith and be accountable to God's word. I don't think I love or desire the Lord any more now than I did when I first came to Christ through this recovery program, but because of community and other believers in my life, I'm able to more fully follow and trust in him. It is only by relying on God in every waking moment that I do not fall. I may stumble and am quick to reconcile and seek forgiveness, but I do not fall because of my commitment and fear of God. God never ceases to amaze me when I fall short of who he has called me to be. I can only pray that he continues to redeem and encourage my life to point toward him through it all. I still struggle at times with the cards I'm dealt, but now instead of wanting to quit the game, I have faith that God will control the outcome. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. There is no such thing as coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. The good all comes from God, yet he allows the bad to happen, all for his purposes, which I must remind you are all good. Philippians 4:12. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. Now, this idea of God and salvation can very well sound crazy to those that have only witnessed Christianity displayed by others. As a Christian, hopefully I'm not the first to break it to you, but no one is perfect. To find the truth, you must first seek it. Don't believe things secondhand, but discover the truth on your own. If you don't know this God, what do you have to lose by giving him a chance? Thank you.